It's time for another edition of San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley. Without further ado, enjoy the program.
Sponsorship of this program was provided by...
Looking for the freshest, newest, most exciting addition to the greatest role-playing game? Then step back in time with Lasers and Liches. Welcome to the Retroverse of the future. A place that rests in old memories, adoration of childhood heroes, outdated styles, half-remembered music, and abandoned data. The Retroverse is a completely new 5e compatible setting. It exudes a retro and futuristic style while still keeping the swords and spells mentality that 5e players love. It includes new classes, playable species and monsters, new feats, new spells, items and rules, plus a full world and campaign. If you feel like your role-playing games were missing a little bit of crazy, check out Lasers and Liches for things like pizza slimes, neon dragons, arcade cabinet deities, laser corgis, it's a dog kind of thing, and nostalgia-inspired world-building based on the most inspiring styles and greatest RPG games from your childhood. Lasers and Liches was successfully funded on Kickstarter in less than 30 minutes, and you can play right away with over 200 pages of free content by visiting their website, lasersandliches.com. This game is beautifully brought to life by the talented artist Luis Abadias. The artwork is simply fantastic. To follow the further development of this and future projects, find them on Facebook or follow them on Twitter at Lasers and Liches. Lasers and Liches originates from right here in the San Luis Valley and supports our friendly local game shop, Big Valley Hobby Town, by sponsoring this podcast. Step into the tales from the Retroverse today, a futuristic world with retro styles at lasersandliches.com.
From the Pacific Northwest to Alaska to the San Luis Valley, hear Matt and Tammy Abbey's fascinating story and how it led them to open up the unique Leisure Time store in Alamosa, Big Valley Hobby Town. They cater to all types of indoor and outdoor fun for people of all ages and hobby interests. Let's get to their story.
I'm Adam, and we're talking with Matt and Tammy Abbey, owners of Big Valley Hobby Town, and we're going to get the whole story about what's going on there. First, welcome to the studio.
Thanks. Appreciate
it. Let's get into your personal background. Where are y'all from?
So Tammy and I are originally from the Seattle area, born and raised. That's where we grew up. Our families are from that area as well. We came to Alamosa in 2010 following work. I came here to take the position of general manager of the local railroad, San Luis and Rio Grande out of Alamosa, and also the excursion train service that operates from here. Kind of a long route. We spent a number of years living in Anchorage before we came down here. And yeah, from the Pacific Northwest.
How did you guys originally meet?
Okay, that's an interesting question. I'm not entirely sure.
Through a crazy friend.
We had a crazy friend. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
All right. And you ended up here in Alamosa proper.
Yep, that's right. We live near the university, near Adams State.
What did you both do in the past that kind of led up to where you are now?
Well, a lot of it, I think, has followed my work. I was in tourism transportation in Seattle after high school and college. I graduated from Bishop O'Day, Catholic all-boys school in downtown Seattle. And then we went to Central Washington University in Ellensburg. Ellensburg, Washington is a lot like the San Luis Valley. It's an agricultural community in the middle of a large river valley with a state school in the middle of the town. So that probably sounds familiar to people who are listening. And so I went into tourism transportation, Gray Line of Seattle. Then we spent some summers working in Alaska, also doing tour bus stuff for a subsidiary of Holland America Cruise Line. I spent 4.5 years managing the old Seattle Center monorail, which runs between downtown and the Space Needle, and then went back to Alaska as the general manager of McKinley Explorer, which is Holland America Line's private train car service. Each cruise line has their own system of hotels and buses and trains and that sort of thing. So I managed Holland America Line's cars, and we used the passenger cars to connect the ship and Anchorage and Denali Park and Fairbanks. And so I ran that service until 2009, and then came down here. I had become acquainted with the folks that own the local railroad through the sale of some passenger cars that we had sold to them. And then, of course, the economy crashed. 2008, 2009 were not good years for the economy, and tourism contracted. pretty severely in Alaska, and I got my free agency. And since I knew these guys and they had a position open down here, I was happy to take it. And happy to find the San Luis Valley. It's one of these little corners of Colorado. There's a lot more to it than meets the eye.
It's a neat gem. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the genesis that started you thinking about opening the Big Valley Hobby Town?
That all started with a box of rockets from his parents' attic.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, so I did rockets as a Cub Scout, as a kid in Seattle, and then also did rockets at the Pacific Science Center. Seattle has a science center, and they'd have some summer clinics and programs, and one of them was rocketry. And like most childhood hobbies, the stuff eventually goes in a box in the attic until you and your parents reach the age where your parents want you to get all of your crap out of their attic.
Mm-hmm.
And I successfully dodged that for a number of years. Moving to Alaska was key to not having to have all of my crap repatriated to me. But when we moved to Colorado, they came to visit in the car from Seattle and brought a bunch of my junk. So, you know, I was wondering where the useless trophies and the old hats went, and they found them. And one of the boxes was all my rocketry stuff from when I was elementary school age. And I opened up the box and had a little flashback in my brain, and my kids started asking. We have two kids, Emily and Toby, and they said, oh, what are these, and how do you use them? And so I started rummaging around in the box, and by God, there was engines, and there was the launcher that I had made as a kid. And so we went to the park so I could show them how the rockets work. Seemed kind of neat. It was a nice afternoon. We launched some rockets, and a whole bunch of neighborhood kids. We were up at Carroll Park up near Alamosa High School. A whole bunch of neighborhood kids came out of the woodwork to see what was going on with the rockets.
They were so interested.
There's 20 or 30 of them turned up.
It's a very distinct sound when those rockets
fall. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Among them, if I remember correctly, some of the kids of then city manager Nathan Cherpesky. And then word got back to the Parks and Rec director, Hines, who's a neighbor of mine in the neighborhood, and we got to talking, and before I knew it, I was doing a rocketry clinic at the rec center, which, you know, was kind of my happy place. It's my therapy to go do those kinds of activities with kids and show them how to do things. Building a rocket and learning how to launch it is, I think, probably more worthwhile and fulfilling for them than, you know, another hour of screen time.
Oh, there's a lot to learn, too. There's a safety factor and everything else involved.
Exactly.
Sure.
There's a whole technological thing that happens there. And the nice thing about rockets aren't my first love or hobby. It's model trains. But the rockets are a little bit of a gateway drug into the hobby world because they're not particularly expensive and there's a huge bang for the buck. And so, you know, that really just sort of fit the moment. And we set up a rocketry clinic at the rec center, and it filled up. I mean, it just filled up. And we were all shocked by this, so we did another clinic and another clinic. And I kept telling the parents, the last night is always painting and getting your rocket decorated. And I'd tell them, go to Walmart and get tester's paints so that you can paint the rocket. And the parents were coming back to me and saying, we can't find tester's paints anywhere in town. And I started investigating. And the little bottles of tester's paints and glue and plastic model kits that we grew up with weren't available anywhere within the walls of the valley. Nobody had them.
Really?
Yeah. I was stunned. I just took it for granted that you could buy a rocket kit and a plastic model you know, at one of the places around town. So I went to Ruthie Brown at the Green Spot on State Street. We were acquainted because my office was just down a block from hers. And I explained that I was doing a rocket clinic and I needed a space to put some paints and supplies to support the clinic. The objective is not to run a store or even make any money. It's just to make this stuff available. And through some connections, I found a distributor up in Denver that does open lots, so I didn't have to buy a case of stuff. And one little 8-foot sheet of pegboard she rented me and helped me watch it and supervise it and took care of the numbers for me. It was a great service, but the stuff sold out like almost instantly. And that was a pretty stunning thing to see. No advertising, nothing, just totally word of mouth. It's there if you need it, forget it.
But obviously a demand for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a pent-up demand for it that didn't require a whole lot of pushing. And so what happened then was I took that revenue and I just bought more supplies and bought more supplies and bought more supplies until after 2 years with, you know, Ruthie's help and cooperation, we had two aisles and several thousand dollars worth of stuff tucked into the green spot. And she had one of her regular employees that liked plastic models. So he'd tell me what he wanted to see and he'd keep them neat and organized. And it was a really great partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a moment when we were doing the monthly numbers and trying to figure something out. And we started talking about a point of sale system, a computer system to help keep things organized. My searching online for a computer system landed me on the franchise page for Hobbytown USA. And that's how it happened. I blame the Rockets. But yeah, that's how it went. And suddenly we're going legit. And it was that whole run-up was a pretty amazing journey. And it couldn't have happened without, you know, support from the city and the rec center. They did a great job making a space. And Ruthie, I mean, I don't know if she set out to do it or not, but there's a little business incubating that occurred right there. That couldn't have gone any better.
Tell me about any challenges that you had getting the store off the ground.
You know, Adam, I don't know. It went pretty darn smooth. I'm not going to say it was easy, but, you know, I'd been in business for a long time. And so the idea of forming a company and getting insurance and getting a business license and signing a lease wasn't something that was particularly daunting to me. One of the tricks was finding the right place. The nice thing about the San Luis Valley, it's a pretty small community, and you put the word out that you're looking and people start noticing stuff for you, and pretty soon an opportunity pops up. I was acquainted with the Porters and with Chuck Kelly he's now at Eclipse Property Management, but he was with Porter Property Management before. And we were able to get a pretty nice deal on some space at the Villa Mall where Radio Shack used to be, right next to where True Value used to be.
Right.
Yeah. And so it just kind of came together. And then from my work at the railroad, I was acquainted with the guys from Alcon Construction. And so they were the natural choice to get the space remodeled. And they did a great job. And it came in on budget and on time. All those things that you would expect to be headaches just kind of fell together for this one. And, you know, whether you believe in God or not, when things start to go well for no apparent reason, you just need to shut up and be thankful for it and let it play out.
Yes.
You know, that's kind of the approach we took. It just, the pieces fell together. The Hobbytown home office sent a team out to help set the store up. Tammy went and I went to Lincoln, Nebraska to the home office for training. Tammy went then on to Wisconsin and spent some time with some really nice folks there that have a Hobbytown and learned how to run a store. And I came back to work. And when it was time to set the store up, you know, they have a week-long setup and build-out schedule. They said that most stores, they're working till 9 o'clock at night, every night, trying to get things done. And we were going home at 5:30, and we were ahead of schedule. I put the word out that the truck was coming, and we had to have a move-in day. And we had 60 people, was it, Tammy?
We had too many.
Volunteers to show up.
That's a good problem to have.
Yes. Yeah, to empty the truck, set up the shelves, and get things going. We had over 60 applicants for the 6 jobs. There were so many applicants, actually felt kind of bad. They were just sitting in what is now the Hobbytown Rec Room at tables waiting for their turns. It took us all day. It took 12 hours to get through the interviews. Because it's a hobby shop, largely the gamer community that turned up first, they just all ran home, asked us to keep their spot in line for an interview. They'd run home, got their games, came back, and spent the whole afternoon gaming, waiting for their opportunity to, you know, to interview for a job. Your boy might have been among them, for all I know. But the whole thing was just a head shaker. Just a head shaker. We felt very fortunate that things went the way they went, and we just sort of kind of took that as guidance that we're on the right track.
Your About says, Big Valley Hobbytown is the San Luis Valley's home for radio control, model railroad, rockets, games, paint, supplies, crafting, tools, and other hobbies. That in itself is a whole lot to say.
Yeah, there's a whole lot going on there. We've been really fortunate, both in terms of the, you know, the support from the business community, but in particular, the customers and the gamers and the hobbyists and the enthusiasts and sort of the loyalty that they've shown to the store. It is, in theory, a for-profit business.
Mm-hmm.
Someday we will enjoy that. But it's still in its infancy, the store is. And so having all of these various hobby disciplines around the store, have been a real benefit, a real blessing. We have a remote control car racing series that goes on. There's a winter series that we host indoor. There's a summer series that we host outdoor. We race on the track that's right behind Hobbytown. We built a dirt RC car track there. This summer, we're going to be racing at the Alamosa Economy RV campground, which is just on the east end of town. Nice. They've built a nice track and a crawling course out there. They're doing a great job promoting the hobby. We're going to be racing at Absmeyer's. Adrian and Brett are building a track for one race, right, for at the landscape. Yeah, well, we're going to play on it other times. But yeah, basically for one race, you know, knew I could count on them. Bauer Excavating up in Moscow is building a track. We're going to go race out at their place. So everybody's just sort of, you know, rallied together. There is a model railroad club that calls Hobbytown home. We have a big O-scale double circular loop. The kids come and play on it whenever they want, as much as they want. The thing probably runs 10 hours a week. They just put miles on the train. And then there's a much finer HO-scale model railroad that's under construction. We've got about 15 members. We get together on Sunday afternoons, bring the kids, teaching the kids to solder and trace out wiring and program their locomotives and do plaster and diorama. That's part of my therapy. The gamer community is about the most polite, respectful, self-managed group I've ever seen. When we first opened the store, I was like, okay, gamers, what's this going to be like? Couldn't be happier. They look after the space. They self-govern. There are some evenings where there's 15 tables of games and Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons and Warhammer and multiple Dungeons and Dragons campaigns going. There'll be a group of grown-ups at one and there'll be some middle schoolers at another. And at some point, one table will get a little rowdy and then you'll hear from another table, hey, there's kids in the room, and the whole thing will just come right back down. I don't have to manage it. It's an astonishing thing, Adam, to sit in the corner and quietly play with my trains and listen to these folks work together. It gives me some hope. You know, I don't want to jinx it, but the rec room's been open for 4 years, and the number of incidents we've had is zero.
Really?
Really.
Well, you rent the rec room out, too, for parties, birthday parties and other events and things?
That's a real small part of what we do. It's more of a helping out, you know, some of these families. Most of our birthday parties that we do are really small, but we have hosted the craft fair every December.
The Villamall Craft Fair, that's right.
Yeah, it was going to go away, and we took that one on. All the proceeds to that go into advertising for it.
Doesn't really give Hobbytown a punch, but it's been a staple at the Villamall for so many years that we just didn't think it needed to go away. And since, you know, the bank was letting us rent that space, the rec room space, so economically, it just seemed like the right thing to do. So we host it.
It was good. I was there last year.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, in regards to the rec room, and this is just my personal observation, I mean, given everything that you're doing, you know, for all these community groups, and you're offering very reasonably priced rentals too, it seems to me that you're more than just a business. I mean, you become an asset to the community here, but what you're bringing to the table and how you're giving back to everybody.
I get almost daily, I get people walking into my store telling me, we're so glad you're here. And it's not because they needed glue. It's because they needed ways to connect with their kids again, or, you know, I want to share what I did as a kid, and this is helping. You just taught me how to repair my own car instead of, you know, charging me to repair my own car. It's like, that's what we're here for. We're here to teach people that there's hobbies, that there's things you can do that are really good for your brain, really good for your community, really good for
your character.
Your character, yeah.
Yeah, your socialization. I mean, Hobbytown has a strong flavor towards what I call the mechanical hobbies, the trains, the planes, and the automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
But our store is different, a little different than other Hobbytowns. The nice thing about a Hobbytown franchise is that once you're set up and running, it's your store. You can kind of bend it around however you want. And because we're a small community, we realized very quickly that we needed to be sort of wider and thinner on our product mix. We couldn't just be an RC store. That wouldn't live. Tammy, of course, has her Bachelor of Arts. She has her associates from the Art Institute of Seattle, and she has her bachelor's from Central Washington. Before I jammed her into the hobby shop to work full-time on that, you know, that's what she enjoyed doing. Buying an airbrush has a little more to it than you can get just going online. Having a person you can talk to about, what does this one do? How does it work? What do the different needles mean? What do the different nozzles actually mean? I can read the description, but I don't really understand. And being able to come in and have that conversation is extremely valuable because it gets the person off to a good start.
Well, and your employees too. I mean, I've been in there several times, and it always seems like they're well-informed and willing to want to help people too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work really hard on that. We encourage them to try out the products we have. You know, I get something new, and the first thing I do is open it up and say, hey, guys, let's try this out. Let's see if it's what it says it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it really helps them know what's going on. But we also, you know, we've got a couple of them who they're really knowledgeable about the gaming aspect. And more so, they fill in the last piece that Matt and I are missing. Because Matt's the things with motors, and I'm the arts. I'm the crafts. Bernita is arts and crafts and gaming. And Keith is gaming. And Danny's learning everything. And they're just... And I'm sorry if I leave any of them out, but they're just all great at sharing what they love. This is part of what's really is why we have so many applicants all the time is because it's like, oh, I love to do this. And now I get to work and share that. And it has a huge part of that.
Kelly, our repair guy, spent 40 years in RF, climbing up and down radio towers and doing that sort of thing. And now he's just a really nice, easygoing, retired guy who likes to come into the hobby shop and work on cars and planes and things.
Which is something that you do offer, too, RC tune-ups and repairs.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The first, you know, little while he had his oscilloscope and all this other stuff, and I kind of laughed and I thought to myself, well, you know, it's not quite that in-depth. If it doesn't work, plug the other one in and just go on your merry way. But, you know, it's kids are showing up because they don't know how to solder. I can't count the number of kids that have shown up with a thing that is broken and needs to be soldered, and I'll just grab the kid and say, do you know how to solder? Well, yeah, sort of. No, not really. I don't know how to solder. Come in the back. Is that okay, Dad? Yeah, sure, that's okay. Sit down at the chair. Let me show you how to fix your thing.
Nice.
And then send them on the merry way. The kid gets a skill. We get a devotee at the store.
Yeah.
Everybody wins.
Total win-win. You mentioned solder. There's a recent expansion. You're now carrying Radio Shack liner products, too.
Yeah, that was something that we were able to take advantage of. Radio Shack, everybody kind of knows the Radio Shack arc in their story. And if you don't, you know, they were a big deal. And then into the new technological age, they almost disappeared on us. Mm-hmm. And they came to the Hobby Town Convention in Lincoln, Nebraska, which is the largest hobby convention in the nation now. There's 170, I believe, Hobbytown stores across the U.S., all independently owned by people that live and work in the community there. And Radio Shack came, and they had a line of owners at their booth because they were offering a thing called Radio Shack Express. You could do the product and the fiddly bits, that's what I call them, the fiddly bits of electrical things that you need randomly if you're into electrical hobbies, but you didn't have to get into the stereo systems, and you didn't have to get into the satellite dishes. What a perfect fit. I mean, Radio Shack is an iconic brand that if you set aside some of the stereo gear and stuff and just look at the fiddly bits, they make pretty good stuff and it's affordable. And if it's available, then guys like you and me and some of these other folks that are into electronical stuff can get the pieces they need.
And we still had people showing up at the store looking for Radio Shack because Radio Shack used to be in that location.
Yeah, we're in a space that used to be a Radio Shack.
Right.
So they're still showing up looking for us.
Perfect fit. Particular items that you carry or want to mention? Again, you know, you're about says you're a full-line hobby shop.
Mm-hmm.
What does full-line
mean? I'd like to, since we've talked about the RC quite a bit.
Sure.
The art supplies, I am constantly adding to it. It's kind of a come and make a request, and if you need a thing, I'll put it on the shelf. And I've had a lot of our art supplies that we have come into being that way. Same with some of the crafting stuff we have. It shocked me knowing how much of an art community we have in the Valley before we started the store. It shocked me to figure out how hard it was to get any supplies at all. So, you know, carrying the paints that people need in the most often, that's been the hardest one to get people to know that we have that because they'll say, oh, you're the RC store. It's like, well, no, we're really not. My plastic models do so well as far as people coming in and, you know, I want to put together a car and we've got that. And
half of the store, though, is arts and crafts. When you walk in the front door, there's almost there's kind of an imaginary line. The mechanical hobbies, the stuff that I'm into a little more, is sort of on the left side of the store when you walk in. And you go to the right, you move into paints, tools, arts and crafts, and then into toys. That's exactly it. The whole spectrum's covered. The paints, the brushes, the canvases, the canvas frame materials, Dremel.
And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is if I don't have it, especially if it's art supplies, I try to always let the people know. I can get that in like 2 to 3 days, which makes me as fast as Amazon.
And you're supporting local too.
Right. You know, so they'll often go online because they don't think they can get it in time for their project. Even if I don't have it on the shelf, I can still probably get it in that time frame. But also, you know, we've got so many starter sets for people who just want to try something for the first time. That's my history. I went to 2 years of art school. I'm really comfortable with the airbrushes. I'm really comfortable with the paints. And people will come in and they'll say, hey, I'm interested in this really obscure hobby called quilling. Do you know what that is? I said, I love quilling. It's just twisting paper.
Got a whole gondola of quilling.
Yep. It's just twisting paper. Anybody can do it. But, you know, they don't think anybody knows of it. That's part of what I love.
The quilling's tucked in with the felting, the leather working, the candle making.
And you have all that, too.
It's there right on the shelf right now.
And as you said, special orders, it's not a big deal.
It isn't.
Call or come by and let you know. And
calling is really easy, especially with a community as large, geographically large as the San Luis Valley. We have a lot of customers that are in some of the outlying communities around the valley. And I just tell them, call ahead before you make the trip to town to buy a thing. If we have it on the shelf, I'll set it aside for you. No problem. If we don't, I'll get it in for your next trip. Save yourself a trip to town. Give us a call.
Were there any particular items that you wanted to mention from the mechanical side?
The rockets.
The rockets are a lot of fun. What's interesting about the rockets is that the family community has sort of rallied around that. Part of it's the cost, part of it's the punch, the fun factor of the rockets. We have a club, the San Luis Valley Rocketeers. They have a Facebook page with all of their monthly launches and events listed out. We enjoy in the San Luis Valley wide open spaces, which means we also enjoy some of the best flying area. There are clubs all up and down both seaboards and through the middle of America that they look for places to fly where there aren't trees. They look for places to fly where they're not going to hurt somebody's field. So in our case, Southway Construction lets us fly on their property on our scheduled days just across the Canales County line by one of their gravel pits. Rocky and Alonzo and all the guys at Southway have been just outstanding supporters of this work. Because there's so much open land out there, we have an FAA waiver for 12,000 feet of airspace.
Really?
Which we activate on launch days, and Denver makes sure the planes get routed around us. 12,000 feet! So we fly 6, 7, 8 foot tall rockets that come off the pad with 200 pounds of thrust. You can fly an elementary school kid with one of these rockets that we're building. And it's just a heck of a lot of fun. You know, I joke it's about $30 a second while they're flying, you know, for the engines. The little rockets that the kids make are way cheaper than that, you know. But you move into sort of the deeper end of the hobby and there's all kinds of cool stuff. And we are working, we've made application to host the Spring National Rocketry Convention here. Don't have that confirmed or anything yet, but it's looking pretty good. That'll bring between 500 and 1,000 rocketeers from all over the country to fly here because we have the space, we have the ground, we have the support of the landowners, and we have the airspace.
The airspace clearance.
We have the airspace clearance. That's exactly right. So that's a lot of fun. So I mentioned I'm a model railroader first. Coming full circle, my very first paid job after, you know, I did lawn mowing and paper routes as a kid was in a model train shop right in downtown Seattle. It's called A Train House. It was on 2022nd Avenue in the days when that part of town wasn't a place a high schooler should be alone. but there was a train shop there. And so I worked some Christmases there. And that's always kind of been my passion. It's why I ended up in transportation and ultimately railroading. I kind of like the systems and the way things work. There's a boutique vendor called Soundtracks that's based in Durango. It's coming over to do a clinic here in a few weeks, the end of April, for club members and for store customers to learn about the product and get their hands on it, nice and local. Back to rocketry, Estes Rockets. If you've seen rockets, you know Estes. They're in Penrose. They're back in private ownership in Penrose. Apogee Components, Colorado Springs. Huge rocket business up there. Tim Van Milligan runs it. Does a heck of a job. Aerotech Aerospace is in Cedar City, Utah. They make these big engines that fly these things. We're sort of in the crossroads. or in the core of the model rocketry hobby right here in the San Luis Valley. So just the dumb luck of it.
Nice place to be.
Yeah, it's a nice place to be.
We also have a large science and, you know, STEM learning type overlap. That area of the store has shrunk down a little bit recently because a couple of my vendors went away, and I'm looking for new products to put in that will fill those voids. But that is part of our core, is to have science covered. And especially, you know, the Radio Shack stuff helps with the electronic end of that. The, you know, there's some really cool science kits out there. We have a company that we found last year who I'm carrying their microscopes now. Their medical grade, professional science grade is their main business, and they decided that they were going to do
consumer grade hobby. And
And their product is really, really nice for a price that surprised me. And so these conventions we go to, we get to sit down with these vendors and they show us what they have, and you really get to try it out. We take the kids because they say, Mom, this thing right here, this is what you're going to want to bring in because everybody's going to want to try this. And they're not wrong. There's just so much out there now.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned the kids. That got me thinking about the fidget spinner craze last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were everywhere. It was bananas. There was one afternoon in the store where the phone calls were probably 3 minutes apart. People calling, do you have fidget spinners? Do you have fidget spinners? Do you have fidget spinners? The fidget spinners themselves drove an immense amount of traffic to the store. But what was so fun about fidget spinners for Hobby Town in Alamosa was that our fidget spinners were made by a middle school kid in Monta Vista.
Really?
Yeah, really. This is an interesting story. So he and his dad got together and he had a 3D printer. And when they just started to hit, they designed and printed a fidget spinner. And his dad, and he and his dad came in one afternoon. And, you know, his dad was involved, but the kid was carrying the water on this thing. And they started putting them in little poly bags, and they printed out some tops. And they cost a little more than the, you know, the gas station variety of the fidget spinner. But I bet you we sold, what do you think, honey, 500 fidget spinners? Kid had to buy another 3D printer and to keep up. And it was just in his bedroom running around the clock making fidget spinners. And his dad would run into the store in the middle of the day and say, we managed to make 50 of them last night. And I'd smile and say, those are spoken for. I have a wait list for 50 more. Go, go. I mean, wow. It was ridiculous, but it felt so good because people would walk in and say, ooh, fidget spinner, $6. I don't know. They're $4 over at such and such. And I'd reply, yes, but these are made in Monta Vista by a middle school kid. So, and then they'd buy them just like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah, and we didn't make that much money on them. It really wasn't about that. It was a flash in the pan fad. But the kid did great, and it made us feel really good to be able to have a venue for that.
Mm-hmm. Clubs, activities, there's a lot going on too at Hobby Town.
Oh, boy.
You got the ASU Science Fiction and Fantasy Guild, the SLE Tabletop Games.
Yep.
Of course, you've got Cub Scouts and the Boy Scouts both meeting.
Yeah, so the Boy Scouts meet on Tuesday nights at 6:30, Troop 307. They're doing an amazing job. My son, Toby, is in that troop. The troop is growing, the troop is organized, the troop is funded, and the troop is doing stuff. Really proud of them. The 4-H folks, they come for various different projects from time to time. They have great leadership and organization over there. Amy at San Luis Valley Extension is just killing it with the 4-H. And they have a competitive robotics team. And they'll come in and have a work day, and there'll be 20 families with the kids and the robotics kits working on the floor and doing the programming. Last year, I believe they sent competitors to RoboRaven Albuquerque. They sent a team to Japan, and they sent a team to Colombia from Monty. And that's the stuff that makes us feel good. So the Adam State Science Fiction and Fantasy Guild, those are the gamers that orbit around the university. They come and play. Really nice group of folks. Super welcoming. If you want to learn how to play Dungeons & Dragons or whatever game it is they're playing, just show up. And they're all listed on our Facebook page, of course, under events. There's a gaming group out of Castilla County. There's a gaming group out of Canales County. They rotate into the hobby shop space, out of the Hobby Town rec room space.
We got the RC groups.
The RC races. The San Luis Valley Rocketeers meet there monthly. The Rocketeers are running a clinic right now. And if you've ever been interested in bigger rockets, you should check this out. We're hosting a level one licensing and certification clinic. If you want to fly a rocket with an engine bigger than a G80, which is about the size of a small flashlight, you have to have a license for that. And we do a licensing clinic right out of the hobby shop. It's kind of even grown-ups and youth that are going through this thing, and the National Association of Rocketry is the sanctioning body that issues the license. We don't get you the license. We get you the training. You got to get it yourself.
Right.
You have to go through the process, but it's a great process. The Model Railroad Club, of course, meets there most Sundays. Also, kids learning how to solder and wire and do things, you know, away from their screens.
That's a good thing.
Away from the screens is a good thing. I'm not anti-screen. I'm anti too much screen.
Gift certificates available too, of course?
Gift certificates, gift cards, easy peasy. Yep, have those all the time.
What else is on the horizon?
Well, that's a good question. I'm working on attempting to bring the National Association of Rocketry spring launch to the Valley. Be good for the Valley. Wouldn't do a lot for Hobbytown, but it would do a lot for the community.
Aren't you doing something for the 50th anniversary?
Yeah, we're doing the 50th anniversary of the moon landing is this summer in July. So we're just going to go have a launch day. Some of the regular club members are building Saturn V's or Mercury Redstones or Little Joe models. I've always been a little more perfunctory of a builder. If I can get paint on it, I consider it a victory. Mine aren't very sexy looking, but they sure go fast. So that's more my speed. Get it one color and get it in the air. So yeah, we're going to do that. It'll be pretty laid back, sort of an affair, kind of a tailgate deal out at our launch site. We're getting ready to do an expansion to the model railroad. The club railroad is loosely modeled after the yards in Salida. And we're working on a couple of different expansion concepts that include the San Luis Valley, Eastern Colorado, and Monarch as well. So that's going to be a big deal. Of course, a steady diet of games and gaming related events,
and we participate in National Tabletop Day. We participate in Free RPG Day. All of these events that take place
on a national level.
Yep,
we participate in those. The National Model Contest in the fall, we compete in that. Had some excellent entries this year. You mentioned about it being—I don't remember what word you used—but you talked about it being a space that is kind of getting its own center of gravity in terms of being in community space. Mm-hmm. And a comment was made to me, somebody laughingly said that we had sort of evolved into our own little community recreation center. And I'm not going to say that was never the plan, but it's really kind of taken on a life of its own. And you go by there on an evening, a Thursday evening, a Friday evening, and you can't park in front of the rec room.
The store's closed
and you can't park in front of the rec room because there's 30 kids playing Magic the Gathering and there's two Dungeons and Dragons campaigns running.
All at the same time.
And maybe the RC kids are in there putting in some practice laps because, you know, the championship's this Saturday for the winner series. I think the purse is $750.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot of Hobbytown store credit, and you need it because after a whole season, you kind of beat the tar out of your car.
Yep. That's great. Anything else that you'd like to mention?
I just think that having a hobby shop is critical to the life and the health of any town, but a small town and a small community in particular brings a little bit of balance to the force in terms of there being things for the kids to do. The most depressing moment I've had since we opened the store was this last fall, or maybe it was last spring. I remember it clearly. I'm in the store. It's 1 o'clock on a Saturday. The phone rings. And there's a kid on the other end asking me if I sell a particular game console adapter because he has a friend over and he wants to play. And part of me felt bad because the kid wanted to play with his friend. And the other, I looked over my shoulder out the window and I stopped short of saying, "Kid, go outside. It's so 1 o'clock on a sunny Saturday. Go get a hobby. Do something." But the game console in the middle of the day on a Saturday just didn't seem like the healthiest thing. Mm. And we're not on a crusade to change everybody's lifestyle and diet. That's not the thing. People will choose for themselves. Mm. We're about making it available. And seeing the community revolve around the store and seeing kids take advantage of the space and what's offered, and seeing them take control of their own campaigns. We don't actually organize any of the Dungeons & Dragons campaigns. Those are the players organizing them themselves, getting them on Facebook, and sending me a link so I can add them to our calendar.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it because they love it. It's what they want to do. And that's worthwhile. Little less screen time and a little more interaction. If you do that, they'll grow up to be better adults. Mm-hmm. They just will.
Even the board games give you more person-to-person interaction.
That's right.
There's a new type of game that's come out in recent years that they call cooperative games, and that is everybody who's playing working against the game. And you're not trying to beat each other, you're trying to beat the game. And there's people who they remember Monopoly, and they don't really want to try again. And it's like, oh, have you tried this game? You know, this one, you're supposed to all get together and rescue people from a burning building. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
And
you know, Pandemic and Forbidden Island, where you've teamed up against the board.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting concept. Fun to play.
Board games have seen a renaissance. And that's because there's so many of them out there now, and people sit down and they work together. Even if you're playing a competitive one, you're still working together. There's some that are puzzles that you all have to solve. There's some that are very, very cutthroat. So whatever type of competition you enjoy, board games now can kind of, you know, meet one of those.
You're right about board games enjoying a renaissance. There's some amazing, amazing games out there in the market now that are so far beyond what, you know, I remember as a kid, the board game. Those are still available. We have Life, we have Monopoly, you know, we have Risk, all these classic games, but the new ones, the Dominion, the Carcassonnes, the
Ticket to Ride,
Catan, just immersive and so much fun. You can spend an evening playing a board game like with grown-ups, and it's okay to do that.
And you're not face down.
Exactly right. I think, from my perspective, you know, the final thought is that, you know, particularly for Tammy and I, we're Gen X. We're in that age group where we came of age and the internet and mobile devices were right behind us. So we're in this moment where there's still newness to this. And I think the pendulum is going to swing back. I think we're seeing the beginning of that now, where people are backing up from their devices a little bit and trying to get back to their community.
We were talking about that just in a tourism conference that was recently at
where
tours now are being done where you unplug for the weekend.
Right.
Exactly. My favorite projects and jobs are the ones where there's no connectivity and I'm out in the field, or cellular connectivity during the job is forbidden for some safety reason or whatever. I can actually get more work done and I'm left alone with my thoughts and I'm dealing with the people and we're not just all face down in our phones. I have a friend that I go to lunch with from time to time. And we have an agreement. Whoever looks at their phone first pays for lunch.
I like that.
It's a fantastic way to do it. Whoever flips their phone over eats the bill. And it's a great little game. You know, one of Hobby Town's mottos is, you know, we make free time awesome. Another one is come play with us. And Tammy and I and the folks at Big Valley Hobby Town in Alamosa, I mean, we're in Alamosa, but we serve the whole Valley community. I've delivered stuff to the north end of the valley just because I could. And we really believe that, and we're trying our hardest to live that. You swing by Hobby Town in the evening, Friday night, Saturday night, all these games going on. These kids and adults, they're not at home. They don't have their faces in their screens. They're not getting themselves into trouble. They're playing a game and they're learning how to deal with each other. And that's good for society, Adam. It just is.
All right, well, Matt and Tammy, I want to thank you both for coming by the studio and sitting down to talk to us about Big Valley Hobby Town, and certainly wish you both absolutely the best and watch this thing grow.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Big Valley Hobby Town is the San Luis Valley's home for radio control, model railroad, rockets, games, paints, supplies, crafting, tools, and other hobbies. They are a full-line hobby shop with a friendly staff and a huge selection of materials and parts. Repair and tune-up services are available as well. They have a regularly updated activity calendar for both kids and adults on their website, BigValleyHobbyTown.com. Gift cards are always available and special item orders are easy and super fast. Call them today for more information. Big Valley Hobby Town can be reached at 719-937-2570. That's 719-937-2570 via email at BigValleyHobbies@gmail.com, or come and spend some time in their store at 3211 Main Street in Alamosa in the Villa Mall Plaza. Big Valley Hobby Town, where the motto is come play with us because we make free time awesome.
Sponsorship for the podcast you just heard was provided by
Looking for the freshest, newest, most exciting addition to the greatest role-playing game? Then step back in time with Lasers and Liches. Welcome to the Retroverse of the future, a place that rests in old memories, adoration of childhood heroes, outdated styles, half-remembered music, and abandoned data. The Retroverse is a completely new 5e compatible setting. It exudes a retro and futuristic style while still keeping the swords and spells mentality that 5e players love. It includes new classes, playable species and monsters, new feats, new spells, items and rules, plus a full world and campaign. If you feel like your role-playing games were missing a little bit of crazy, check out Lasers and Liches for things like pizza slimes, neon dragons, arcade cabinet deities, laser corgis, it's a dog kind of thing, and nostalgia-inspired world building based on the most inspiring styles and greatest RPG games from your childhood. Lasers and Liches was successfully funded on Kickstarter in less than 30 minutes, and you can play right away with over 200 pages of free content by visiting their website, lasersandliches.com. This game is beautifully brought to life by the talented artist Luis Abadias. The artwork is simply fantastic. To follow the further development of this and future projects, find them on Facebook or follow them on Twitter at Lasers and Liches. Lasers and Liches originates from right here in the San Luis Valley and supports our friendly local game shop, Big Valley Hobby Town, by sponsoring this podcast. Step into the Tales from the Retroverse today, a futuristic world with retro styles at lasersandliches.com. We appreciate you telling your friends to listen to the podcast on slvoices.com and check out our extensive calendar of events, more listings in one location than any other website around. You can help spread the word, too, by joining our Facebook group, SL Voices, Your Voice in the San Luis Valley, and liking our posts on other social media outlets. Also, check out our Instagram page for behind-the-scenes looks at what we do. And please, patronize our local sponsors. Remember to support the businesses here in the Valley. Most are owned and operated by your friends, family, and neighbors. We all love this area and want to see it flourish. And you can help by buying and supporting locally in your own and surrounding communities. Check back for another local podcast soon. Until then, this has been San Luis Valley Voices, a production of SL Voices, your voice in the San Luis Valley.